We're going to be finishing our home series, which we've been doing for the last 3 weeks. We're talking about returning to sites and opening the sites. Talks about how we want that to feel more like coming home than going to work. And in many ways, and as soon as you say that, you kind of know what it means. But we'll dig into it a bit more. It seems appropriate that we'd be finishing this series today for two reasons. One, I've been stuck at home this week, which was painful. This is my first time I'm allowed out. I had to self-isolate because of the app. I was doing all of this while at home. The second reason, more significantly, genuinely, I cannot believe how I did not foresee, when we were talking about preaching into coming home, that I did not make this connection. Of course, today is the day it's all coming home. And it's a great day for that. Yeah, indeed. Do whoop. It's a great day. It's coming home. And so, but it's just what is it? I can't believe it. I really can't. You look at these things now.
That was such a British reaction, wasn't it?
It wasn't bad. I like the positivity. I just can't believe that we didn't see it when I was doing these. It's coming home. Anyway, there we are. It is a good day to be finishing this series. So far we've talked about kind of remembering, and we talked about resting. And when you think about coming home and being at home, you can't rest anywhere else in quite the same way you can when you're at home. We talked about that. And we talked about, Thomas came last week, talked about responsibility. And the sense of, in your own home, no one tells you to hoover. You just do it. You take ownership of your own home. You take responsibility because it is your home. And today you're going to be talking about being real with one another. And I think it's also true that when we're at home, we cannot help but be real. We cannot help but our real selves come out. And sometimes that is expressed negatively, in a not too positive way. We let our guards down, and then those that we live with suffer for it sometimes. Have to put up with it. I remember when Liz and I first got married, and kind of when we go to my parents' house where I grew up, and I don't know if any of you are like this, and you kind of immediately just revert into your teenage self. And I don't know, just expect things. And it didn't impress Liz. But when I'm talking about being real, I'm not just saying, you know, when we all just dismiss being godly and wise. There is some good side to being real, and that is that we are vulnerable and honest with one another in a way that we've been this morning already. And taking our guard down becomes a positive thing. And it's not that we're fake everywhere else. Wherever else we go, we're just not the real person. But that we just are our most real selves at home. We are supported, and we are supportive at home. And it's all possible because we are real. And so as we do kind of come home and open up our sights after this past year, it is important that we are real with one another. And that's always true. It's always true that it's best for us to be honest and open. But it is particularly true with all that there is going on to process. Just a few things, right? So I don't think we could quite say that the pandemic is over. I'm going to move a bit further forward. I don't think we could quite say that it's all over yet. But it probably is coming to a close in this country. And there's a sense in which when you're in the thick of something crazy, you just ride the wave. I think we probably all know that experience because you've just got no choice but to. You just take it on. It's only kind of after, in retrospect, that you get a chance to actually process, man, that was crazy. And so as we do come to a close, it's really kind of now that we begin to actually start being able to process it. And it's important that we can be real in processing that. I was so gutted having to isolate this week. I missed Thursday evening. I don't know if everyone picked up the news, but just in case you didn't, David Thompson, who has been leading the eldership team for a number of years, and has been on sabbatical with some issues in his marriage, said that he won't be returning, coming back to Grace Church. Really sad, really, and all that they are working through. And it was mentioned that I'll be taking on the leadership of the eldership team. And in all of that, there's just stuff for us all to process, and all of the implications of all of this. And I'll talk more about this a bit later on, but in all of it, it's good that we're real, you know, be real with me, be real with one another. And then as well, so there's the kind of processing retrospectively all of the pandemic, but also emerging out of lockdown and all that goes with that, and as we do open sites, and maybe some are more comfortable with that than others, and some may struggle with things in a way that others won't, and being real about the effort it takes to make all this happen. There's no point being in denial about any of that. So there's kind of three big things, and they're just things that are kind of for all of us, and we've all got our own things going on, again, as we've heard this morning, to process and be honest and open with one another. So as we look into this, we're going to be in 1 Peter. I will put it up, but I do always encourage you to get it out. If you do have a Bible or even a phone, you grab up 1 Peter in just a few verses, 2.5 verses really, which I don't recall ever preaching on such a small number of verses, but I just feel God has brought us to these verses. So in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, the second half of verse 5 really, to verse 7, says this: all of you, I'll start there, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. I'll just read it again, because it's short, and just to let it sink in. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. I want to pick up on two verbs in this passage, two doing words. I count a total of 7. I'm not an expert on all this stuff. I think I get 7 verbs. Probably everyone's now looking, thinking, oh, can I see these missed? There's 7 verbs in this. 4 of them are things that God does about who God is. So he opposes. It says God opposes the proud, shows, and he shows favour to the humble, lifts, he lifts up the humble, and cares. He cares for you. And adding that, I mean, I'm not going to be focusing on those 4 things, but there's a massive, amazing sermon there, I'm sure, to be talking about who God is. He opposes the proud, shows favour to the humble, lifts up the humble, and cares for you. He is an awesome God that we worship. But I want to focus on the things that we're called to do as believers. And that leaves 3 verbs for us. There is clothe. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. And then there is humble, which is kind of just the same as clothe, in that it's saying clothe yourselves with humility. And then there is cast. Cast all your anxiety on him. So I want to focus on clothe and cast, given that humble is really in the context of clothing as well. Clothe and cast. That's how we can be real. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Firstly then, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Clothe is a great verb. It's a good one, I think. It's more than just be humble. That is in there. But it's more emphatic, isn't it, to say clothe yourselves with humility. Clothing totally covers us. It's close to us. Think of a cloak. Actually, I forgot to get this out. I mean, it's just what I get. Any kind of blanket of any sort. This is just the first one I saw. Right. But, you know, you clothe yourselves, right? See, genuinely, I didn't intend. I mean, I thought of doing this. I thought about it before I thought of doing it with an English flag. But there we are. You know what I mean? I'm clothed. I'm totally covered. And there's something total about it. Like you would cover yourself with a blanket or indeed a England flag. Humility, though, is a choice that we make, right? We choose the path of humility, the path of lowliness. And the passage starts, all of you. It's for all believers. It's the path Jesus chose, and therefore, how much more should we if he chose that path? And so it's not a way that we are. It's not like, I am humble, I just am a humble person. It's a choice that we make. So we can't get away with just saying, I'm not humble. It's like saying, I'm not dressed. You just, well, get dressed. clothe yourselves with humility, and it's towards one another. So it's me, that's actually the first thing that comes in these few verses. It's me choosing to humble myself towards you. It's putting you before me. Say you collectively or you individually before myself. And I think humility, more than anything I can think of, if we can get this right as God's people, I just think everything will be pretty easy. If we really are clothing ourselves with humility towards one another, it changes everything and makes everything smoother. It includes being humble enough to ask for help, or at least to say that you are struggling. Being real about our struggles and our weaknesses as well, things that we know we're not strong in. If I am struggling with someone, I don't want to tell anyone. I don't want to talk about it, and for most of my life, that's fine. I can get away with that. I'm pretty good at putting up the mask, you know, when I go about my day, and at work, I just go through the motions, and no one knows that I'm struggling, or even with my mates, I think I can get away with it. But when I get home, I just can't. And Liz can just see it in me, and she just knows that there's something going on. She won't have it, and that's because I can't help but be real at home. And I need to let her in, and I need to tell her of my struggle. And that's right. It's right that we are real when we are at home with our family. And we need to be humble enough to admit when we're struggling. I think the reality is it's harder for guys to do. I'm not good at it. Requires humility to be real, even at home. And so certainly in this context, it does require humility. But there's no shame in it. There's no shame in struggling or having weaknesses. We all have them. It's a weird thing that we pretend there is shame, even though we all know that we all have them. And it's just to be fake is not encouraging anyone. In fact, we can even get to a place of rejoicing in our weakness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, famously, chapter 12, verse 7, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, against the culture of this world, boasting in weaknesses. But there really is no shame. When we acknowledge them, we recognize that we are powerless, but God is powerful. We are not able, but he is. And I think I put him asking for help. It may just be saying you're struggling. I think often will. It's not necessarily not asking you to do anything. I just need to know. I just want to be open and real with you. And it's not the same as, because we can think, oh yeah, I need to be real, and we just air our dirty laundry, and we just spurt things. I've just got to be real, you know, I've just got to say this is what I feel, and I feel like you're doing this. And it's not that. I think sometimes, at least, clothing ourselves with humility towards one another will look like just not saying anything, and keeping our mouths closed. Jesus says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 23, speaking of Jesus, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to them who judges justly. Jesus himself just knew he had stuff. He's got beef on all of us, but he didn't say it. He kept his mouth closed. If you feel overlooked, if you feel victimized in anything, I'm not. There's a time to speak up. Sometimes there's a time to just be quiet and trust God who judges justly. It also includes being humble enough to help out. Even if it might seem like a menial thing to be doing, it does take humility to be willing to do that, to be willing to do what may not be the most glamorous of tasks. And kind of as I alluded, some of us find asking for help quite easy, and you know, easy to be real, but then struggle to provide help, and kind of think, oh, I can't help, you know, I've got nothing. And that's false humility. That's not real humility to say, I can't help you, and No. But then the flip side is some of us find it easy to offer help, but more difficult to ask for help. And again, it's not humility that's the root of that. We are called as God's people to bear one another's burdens. All of us. It's not some of us bear a load of them, some of them bear a load of them. We're all called to that. Don't look to just the few to do it. Oh, humble yourself enough to help out. And I'm not, I don't want you to think, oh, I'm just going about rotas again. I'm not just talking about filling rotas. It's just taking time to prefer one another and to support one another, to do what's needed. Again, just like at home, you just play your part in the family. You support, you help. And we can often think, oh, okay, well, where am I gifted at? And where should I? And that's not a bad thing. We should think along the lines of what's God gifted me to do and how can I, you know, use my gifting to serve. But actually, I think the number one priority when we're thinking how can we help is where's there a need? And that's the first thing to be thinking. Where does people need help? And I'll help there. I may not be great at that, but that's what we should be thinking. Humble towards one another. So it's not casting anxiety on one another. We'll get to that. And it's important that we don't mix those up. So don't think when you are asking for help. Some people can be held back from doing that because they think, oh, just I don't want to cast my anxiety on you. I don't want to drag you down. No, don't think like that. We need to be humble enough to ask for help. Also, don't try. Some of us may think, I just need you to carry this anxiety as well. And we can put it on people and that's not helpful either. We're carrying burdens but not anxieties. And it does start by saying, humble yourselves towards one another and also under God's mighty hand. So it's we kind of, when we humble ourselves toward one another, we're choosing to act as if we are below one another. But with God, we really are under him. We humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And amazingly, the Bible is so good. The New Testament always gives a reason. The reason that we should humble ourselves is that God might lift you up. That is our motivation. Stop exalting yourself, right? Stop trying to lift yourselves up and let God do it at the right time. And it's an interesting thing. We can think, oh, I don't want to miss out. And God's saying, you won't. And we can think, well, am I even allowed to worry about missing out? And God says, no, he will lift you up. His way is better, right? His timing is better. Self-exaltation, right? Lifting ourselves up. That's actually always counterproductive. No one likes that guy. No one likes the person who's going on about themselves all the time. God wants to be the one to lift you up. And we have, as believers, a place in glory, in heaven. We are co-heirs with Christ, the Son of God. God is better at lifting you up than you are. So leave it to him. That's verb one, right? Verb two is casting. Casting all your anxiety on him. It's another great verb. It's almost the opposite of clothing yourself. Casting. The only time the word is found in the same way in the Bible is in Luke 19:35. It's Palm Sunday, and it says, they brought the donkey to Jesus, casting their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. Cast their cloaks on. So the animal carries it, and not you. The animal carries the cloaks. It's kind of like, I don't need to do it, the flag again, but like a picnic blanket or something, you know, or a beach towel, and you throw it down and you cast it onto something else. Something else takes it. And it should be, I think the NIV reads kind of, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, full stop, cast your cares, all your anxieties on him. There shouldn't really be a full stop, I think, the way it should be translated. Because it makes it sound like it's two totally separate things. Humble yourselves, and also, hey, cast your anxiety on him. And it's really saying, no, as you humble yourselves, as part of that, casting all your anxiety on him. And this is important. So pride and kind of humility as well, therefore, is linked to anxiety. We are proud ultimately because we are full of self-concern and thinking about ourselves, whether that, you know, is our money or our security. We are just overly concerned about these things, about ourselves, our identity, ultimately our reputation, right? How, what other people think about us. Pride is being too interested in our own name. We are self-entitled. We think we're entitled to this stuff. Self-concerned, selfish. And being like that, being concerned about all those things, maintaining all these things, maintaining our own rep, it's draining. It is anxiety-inducing. I think if home is where we are most real, and I think it is, then social media is at least potentially the opposite, in that it's the easiest place to be fake and not real, or to be just different, to be something, you can be whatever you want on social media. And people spend a lot of energy and time maintaining their own name and their own reputation and look on social media. So therefore, I think it's no surprise that social media causes anxiety, because people are comparing with other people, they're thinking about their own name, their own profile, and it leads to anxiety because maintaining all of that is draining. Now, I'm not saying that all anxiety is a result of being proud. Partly there is anxiety and there is anxiety, and there are things that we just could be struggling with, and we just actually are a result of sin, at least. Potentially, anxiety is a result of sin. And sometimes there is another animal of anxiety, and there's a whole layer, whole levels of things that we need to deal with to work through that. Maybe sin is part of it, but not necessarily all of it. And therefore, considering that pride is linked to anxiety, casting our anxiety onto God helps us to clothe ourselves with humility. And clothing ourselves with humility also helps us to cast our anxiety on God. Casting helps clothe, and clothing helps to cast. It's because God bears our burdens that releases us to clothe ourselves with humility, to be humble, because he is carrying our anxieties. It's rife in the Bible. Matthew 11:28, God, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Psalm 55:22, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you." Isaiah 46:4, "Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." It's all over the Bible. Be real. You acknowledge your worries. We need to first do that. Before we can cast them anywhere, we need to acknowledge that we have them. And then we cast them onto God. And when we do that, it's easier to humble ourselves. We acknowledge that we have struggled, we've given it to God, and we are humble. As we clothe ourselves with humility, we will find casting anxieties way easier. That's all true. At the risk of being slightly confusing, I think also humility, or a kind of type of humility, can be the cause of anxiety in a strange way, in that it can be the cause of being anxious about not being noticed or not being cared about. But actually, I think that's ultimately a kind of fake humility. Real, true humility goes far enough to cast those anxiety on God so that we don't care about our own reputation. We know it might be difficult, but we go through it anyway. So whatever rep we might lose becomes irrelevant. And again, there is a reason given for us to cast our anxiety on him, and that is because he cares for you. It's not humble for us to deny that and to say things like, "God could never care about me. God couldn't love me." That's not humility. God cares for you. He wants to carry your anxieties like a donkey carries a cloak. And he wants to demonstrate, kind of from that 2 Corinthians, that his power is big enough, that he is able to carry them. And this is also, as well as being a reason, it's also the means by which we do it. It's how we cast our anxieties on God, is by believing that promise that he cares for you. And just the prophetic young God speaking and encouragements of our time in worship, that he is the pilot. He is a good pilot. He cares. He cares about flying the plane well. Cast your anxieties on him. He sees you like Hagar. He sees you in your situation and he knows your name. He is a good father to you. He cares about you. And we believe that promise, not just kind of in the abstract, like, yeah, I guess I believe, you know, theoretically, but in the specific, we take things. So this week, I tell you, I was not happy about having to isolate this week. That was a pain. And I had to struggle with that. But I in that, I had to trust that God cares, you know, that he knows best. I can chuck my anxieties on him and let him worry about it and trust his good plan. And also, casting is linked to prayer. So Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So the way we cast our anxieties on God is by praying and seeking him and speaking to him, telling him about our struggles and being real with him. So we're real with one another by clothing and casting. Be real. That's the encouragement. As we talk about coming home and how we want that to, all of this to be more like coming home and going to work, part of what we mean is let's just be open with one another. Now, I'm not saying say that we're struggling if we're not, right? I don't think we need to feel like, oh, it is hard, isn't it? And I guess I should find it hard. If you're not struggling, then be real about that. And if you are, don't necessarily expect everyone else to be as well. And don't expect everyone to be in that place. But also, be honest if we are or if we're not. And it is important that we get these two verbs right, the right way around, right? That we are not clothing ourselves with our anxieties and casting our humility away, that we keep our humility close and our anxieties we cast on to God. So the things I just mentioned earlier, some real examples, right? Some practical, specific things. There's a demand of getting heaven going again, and our others, Bognor as well, and Midhouse is in with Chichester for the time being, at least. But as we do that, we do want this to be like home. And, you know, we said again, week one, more mess, less dress, in the way that it is at home with your family, and we're going for that well. But we do want it to be at home, and preferring one another makes that easier. by working for one another and humbling ourselves towards one another makes that easier, makes it possible, makes it joyful. But again, be real with one another as we do that, you know, and all that goes on, and the difficulties you're having or not having, the capacity you have or don't have, and be real with God. So clothe yourselves with humility towards one another and cast your anxieties on God. Be real with God and how you're coping with it. Speak to him. Pray to him. And it's good. I don't know, it's easy when you hear me say things like that. Oh, it's just so good to be back. You just think I'm just reading a script. But it is. I'm so grateful to God that we are here. That we are back here in Warblington and worshipping together. Yeah. All of that. I really am. And it's a privilege. It is hard work, though. To be honest, it's harder than I thought it would be. I knew it would be. But I think it's taking more effort to kind of get into the motion of things than we've been out of this game for a long time, and it is hard, but it's good, and it's a joy to be here. So that's one, and then we're processing the news about David, and right? Many of us know David well. I know him well. I love him, and we are been processing that. We need to grieve appropriately all that is going on, and. And we need to be real with one another about how we are processing that. We're clothing ourselves with humility, casting anxiety on God. And so from my perspective, and you know, talking about taking on the leadership, I'm trying to clothe myself with humility in that, and I'm trying to clothe and cast. So being real, I think you probably will know me well enough to know that I'm not God's answer to this church, right? It's not like, oh, Joe, and then it's going to be amazing. We've got Joe. That's not going to be the case, and I think we all know that. Equally, I think it would be false humility for me to deny that I do feel God is in this, and that He has been speaking to me and Liz and leading us to this, and that we feel God's plan on our lives to lead us into that. Certainly, right? I'm not saying we haven't got any anxieties, but cast them on God. And genuinely, I think there's loads. I don't know how this can work. I don't know how that's going to work. But we feel it's right in God, and so the rest of it, we can just say, "Well, God, therefore we trust you with this and this and that." And you know, one of the things, obviously, is the implications on us as a site and my own capacity as we do all of that. Now, again, I'll be totally real. We haven't dotted every I or crossed every T, and as we talked this all through, but let me say, you know, I'll be sticking around. I feel at the moment this is right that I continue to lead this through. Really, I don't want that to sound like I'm saying, but in a few weeks or whenever I'm off. But I don't know. We genuinely are trusting God in it, and there's been a lot for us to work through and process. But we do feel clear that it's right that we're here for now, and we feel that's all we can answer about, and it's right that I continue to lead God in it. But I don't think any of us need anxiety. We don't need to worry. We can trust God's sovereignty. Again, I think God is in it all, and He cares for us. Therefore, we just cast it on Him. And I'm not saying there's no questions that can be asked. Dude, I want to talk to you. I want to be open and be real, you know, to keep this conversation going. But all of the implications of processing that about David, we want to be clothing ourselves and with humility and casting anxiety on Him. And as well, as we do emerge out of lockdown, in terms of church, but also just in wider life, again, just aware people are processing that differently. Some just cannot wait, and they're going to have a burning ceremony of their face masks or whatever, and some are not there at all. Let me say, right, so this is our penultimate Sunday before the 19th of July. And so 25th of July, 2 weeks today, we'll be singing. And, you know, we're going to do that and make that option available to you. I'm not going to wear a face mask that day at all, and there's no obligation. But equally, we're not going to be judging one another. We're going to be preferring one another. And so whether it's face masks or singing, you know, you may be someone who's like, definitely I can't wait to shout and take my mask off. But we're not going to be judging anyone who maybe does feel not so comfortable about that, or who is not sure and still wants to wear a mask. But then the flip side as well, you know, if you still feel that you do want to be wearing a mask, and then we're not going to be judging those who don't. We're going to be clothing ourselves with humility. Well, that's what I'm endorsing anyway, that we clothe ourselves with humility, and we don't let little things get between us, and we remember that actually they are little. We're not walking in fear as we do that. I think for all of us that's important, that we're not walking in fear and over concern. We do begin to process some kind of normal again. Instead, we're casting our anxieties on God, but we're not being reckless. We're not being silly. We're walking in faith is what we're doing, and it needs wisdom, and we'll process it all through. But come 25th, we'll celebrate and sing all together. And it'll be wonderful. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Cast your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Ultimately, the only way that we can. The only reason that it's possible for us to cast our anxieties and our burdens on God is because Christ has clothed himself with humility in the most perfect and complete way. He is both our model as we look to all this. He is the one who has done it. He's also our means. He is the way we can do it. And ultimately, it's only appropriate that we all humble ourselves, because we haven't got much to shout about ourselves. But there was no compulsion on Jesus. He's deserving of all the glory and honour. And yet he emptied himself of it all and became a servant. Philippians 2, 3 to 9. I just let this worship. The band could maybe come up just as I read, and let this just speak to your hearts of worship. In humility, value others above yourselves. That's the context of this passage. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, because he humbled himself and done all of that, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. While we stand, come to worship. So Christ not only clothed himself with humility, as we are called to do, but actually he also clothed himself with our burdens. He clothed himself in our sin. So we cast them off and we say, no, get rid of your anxieties and your burdens and your sin. But he clothed himself in all of that. It was all put onto him. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So we can be real because he has bought us life. He has won life for us. Our home ultimately is in heaven. It is with God, because of all that Jesus has done, because he bore the burden of our sin. So is we just mindful of Christ? Yeah, how can we do anything other than clothe ourselves with humility towards one another and under God? And how can we hold on to our anxieties? How can we not cast what we now know are invalid anxieties on him? Because he is a good pilot, because he knows your name, because he sees you, because he cares for you, as he has proven once and for all at the cross. And just pray, just get your... Somebody's going to lead us in a song again in a mo. Just respond in your heart now to all that Christ has done. It's not separate from our own application of clothing and casting. Jesus Christ, we worship you. Son of God, equality with God. You weren't that fussed by that. You didn't consider that something to be used to your own advantage. Rather, you gave it all up. You made yourself nothing. Became a servant, obedient to death. What an awesome Saviour you are. We worship you, Lord. This is what this is about. It's about worship. And we worship you, King Jesus. You're not there anymore. Because you did all that, the Father has exalted you to the highest place and given you the name that is above every name. And Jesus, we worship you. Help us, God, to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another and to cast our anxieties on you, because we love you. Help us to do it out of a place of worship. In response to all that you've done for us, we worship you. We give you all the glory. We love you. You're so awesome. You're so gracious and kind and full of glory. worship you, God. Amen.